One of the questions heard by virtually every parent is, how much longer? Children want to know how much longer it may be till mealtime, or they may say, how much longer is it going to be until my birthday? If traveling to a distant place, children will say, well, how much longer? Are we there yet? In Genesis 16, which is tonight's text, it seems like Sarah and Abraham were asking this same basic question. God had told Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, but Abraham, of course, was someone who did not have any children. By the time of Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, Abraham was 75 years old. In Genesis 17:17, we learn that Sarah was 10 years younger, so if Abraham is 75, in Genesis 12, 4, Sarah is 65. Now, by today's standards, and I recognize that things are a little different from then and now, but by today's standards, very few men are going to be a father at the age of 75. Abraham did have a child when he was about 86 years old, Genesis 16:16, but this child was not the promised one. The promised child arrived when Abraham was right at the 100 mark. He was about a century old, 99/100, right in that ballpark. Abraham and had, Abraham and Sarah had faith in the promise of a special son, but as you look at their lives, you find that they did get a little impatient. And what happened to them in their lives can also happen to us. Just like Abraham and Sarah, we can have faith in God. But as time goes by, and especially as sometimes circumstances are difficult, we may want God to hurry up. Or we can fall into another trap. We may think that we know how to best deal with a certain set of circumstances. Sometimes people begin to experience a problem, and they begin to wait, and they begin to pray, and they're content to do that for a while. But rather than let God handle the situation, rather than wait and see what God has in mind as far as an answer or a form of help, some decide that they're going to give God some assistance. And they do something or they engage in an action that is not God's ideal solution. That's exactly what we find taking place in Genesis chapter 16. God had promised to give this couple a son. Things apparently weren't moving along quite as quickly as they thought, or they thought that, well, we'll help God out a little bit. Sarah apparently becomes impatient. And rather than waiting for God to keep his word, she decided to take things in her own hands. Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now Jehovah hath restrained me from bearing. Go in, I pray thee, unto my handmaid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Now, as the head of the family, Abraham could have said, this is a premature plan. Abraham could have said, we need to wait. This is a hasty action, and let's not act in haste. But Sarah wanted a baby. And as we look at the account, she had a plan. And the Bible says her plan worked. Verse 4. And he, that would be Abram, went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. One of the words that stands out in that verse is the word despised. A child was conceived. But there was big trouble in this household. Abraham had two wives. And it's very clear that these ladies, at least at this point, were not getting along very well. The pregnancy became a type of weapon between Hagar and Sarah. And as time passed, the Bible says the situation did not improve. Verse 6. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her that which is good in thine eyes. And Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. Sarah is often held up as an example of a godly woman. People that, ladies often say, well, this is a good example to follow. And there are, many notable things from her life. But in this particular passage, this is an event, this is a situation, this is a verse which is not pretty. Sarah was so ugly towards this pregnant woman that Hagar fled. This is not a case where Hagar casually gathered her stuff together and left at her own leisure. The Bible says she fled. Verse 8 seems to make this point a second time, perhaps for the sake of emphasis. Looking at that passage, he said, Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, whence comest thou, and whither goest thou? And she said, I am fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarai. Sarah put a pregnant woman to flight. And out of all the things that she could have done, she did this, and as I said, it was not a nice thing to do. Well, there is an angel, the angel of Jehovah, that meets up with Sarah, and meets up with Hagar, and he gives her some pretty unusual advice. The angel of Jehovah says that Hagar needs to return to the place, the home that she's left. Verse 9. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. Not only was Hagar to go back to the house she had fled from, but she was to submit to Sarah. And the angel of Jehovah says, if you do this, you are going to be blessed. In verse 10, he says, the child that is going to come through you is going to be the father of many people. This is going to work out okay. Now, it's hard to believe that the maid really wanted to go back to a home where she's been mistreated. If things are so bad that a person is fleeing, thinking about going back to that environment really boggles the mind. But God said, if you do this, no matter how difficult it seems, if you do this, you are going to be blessed. Her son would be part of a great legacy. Today, as we look at our lives, they can seem to follow a similar track. God's word may call on us to do some things that at times we think are very difficult. And as we look at that particular item, we think, wow, can I really do that? Is that really God's will for my life? And that, if that is his will, that's not really what I want to do. But the message of Genesis 16 is true for us just as it was true for Hagar. Do this, comply with God's will, and we will be blessed. Verse 11 in Genesis 16 is also important. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah hath heard thy affliction. When people suffer some type of affliction or problem, they often wonder, does God know? Does God understand? Does God care about me and my problem? Here is a pregnant woman who fled from her home. Did God know about a situation? Did God care about her? Was heaven really concerned about Hagar? God not only knew, but the Bible says the angel of Jehovah came to see her, verse 11. Now, this is not the proper time for this, but many people believe that the angel of Jehovah, that specific expression or designation is actually a reference to Jesus in the Old Testament, and there seems to be a good line of evidence to establish that point. Deity was very concerned about this woman as well as her unborn child. And notice this quick point as well. God was not only concerned about Hagar, but he was concerned about the unborn. And today God is still concerned about the unborn. Hagar believed the angel of Jehovah was a very special being. Notice what she says about this being. And she called the name of Jehovah that spake unto her. Notice that. Jehovah that spake unto her. Sounds like it is a member of the Godhead. Thou art a God that seeth, for she said, have I even here looked after him that seeth me. Hagar, the handmaid, was delivered from the situation. Things did work out okay for her, but as you look ahead a little bit, and again, we're not going to go into that tonight, but things got bad at a later time. Just a few chapters later, Genesis chapter 21, which we're not going to look at tonight, Hagar did go back to the house, but she's put out of the house one more time. And at this point, the Egyptian handmaid in Genesis 21, Hagar thinks that she's going to perish. She's out there in the wilderness with her baby, and they are going to die in the wilderness. Well, what happened to the faith and everything that we're reading about here in Genesis 16? You know, a few years have passed, apparently, but what about this particular experience? The angel of Jehovah shows up and helps her. Does she just forget about that by the time of Genesis chapter 21? Well, as you look at her life, you find that it is so typical of many today. People get into a difficult set of circumstances, and they get through that hardship. God has delivered me. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. God has seen me through. But you know, after that disaster ends and a little time goes by, it may be a week, it may be a month, it may be 4 or 5 years, maybe 10 years. There's another crisis, there's another disaster that comes up, and people just like Hagar begin to think, well, where is God? Yes, it's true that he helped me the first time I got through that initial crisis, but now there's another one. Maybe it's not as bad, maybe it's worse, and we're not sure that God is going to deliver us the second time. Now we're going to perish. Well, the lesson from Hagar's life is if God sees us through the first crisis, Genesis 16, when that next crisis comes along, Genesis 21, he's also going to be aware of that problem and he's going to see us through that second problem. And if God will see us through two times, he'll see us through 3, 4, 5, and ultimately our entire life. It's very tempting to try to control our own faith. In some respects, that's what Abraham and Sarah were doing with the child through Hagar and maybe even Hagar herself. And yet an Old Testament prophet said a long time ago, Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. I heard preachers quote that for years, and I, for a long time, really tried to go ahead and get my mind around it, and that was just one of the verses that I really struggled to understand. And just it just took me a long time to really comprehend the force of that passage. But when you look at Genesis 16, it's not a verse that is all that difficult to understand. Sarah and Abraham, they were trying to direct their own steps. They were trying to say, well, yes, God has made this promise, and this is probably the best way to go, or maybe God is going to fulfill the promise this way, so let's do these things. Let's direct our own path. Let's choose our own course, and everything is going to work out. And, well, that wasn't quite the right way to go. God had a completely different plan. Today, God still says it is not our role to direct our path. Sarah and Abraham had to learn that lesson the hard way, and that's still true for a lot of people today. As we look at Genesis 16, we find that there are a lot of lessons scattered throughout this chapter. We've given some of them. I do want to make some additional ones at this point. For instance, in verse 2, Sarah says, Jehovah has restrained me from bearing. Have you ever thought about that part of the verse? In this culture, a lack of children was typically associated with a woman. Now today, if there's a problem with conception, people would say, well, could be the man, could be the woman, could be a combination of things. But in this day and time, sterility was not typically associated with males. It was always the woman's problem. If someone was going to be blamed for childlessness, it was going to be the wife. Well, as you think about that and you look at our society today, there is a point or two of application. Sometimes people are blamed because it seems like, well, that's just the right category to place blame. Sometimes people are stereotyped. And if the person fits the right type, if they fit into this particular category, then they're often blamed. As you look at the news, oftentimes this is something that's done by the media. When a certain event occurs, they would say, well, it must be this person, or it must be this group. It must be the people who believe in this way. The Bible says we want to make righteous judgments, John 7, verse 24. So if a person or a group deserves blame, we certainly can put the blame where it belongs. But let's be sure as we go through life that when blame is placed, we put it in the right place and we encourage others to do the same. As we look at this chapter, we also see a lesson about making hasty decisions. Hagar became pregnant. She was pregnant and she fled. Genesis 16:1 says that she was an Egyptian. We know from some earlier material, Genesis 13 verse 1, that Sarah and Abraham had left Egypt. So here you have a situation where there is a lady from Egypt and she's away from her homeland, presumably away from her family. She's pregnant and she runs. Where's she going to flee to? It's going to be tough to get back to Egypt. How is she going to survive after she leaves Abraham's house? Where is she going to eat? What would she eat and where would she sleep? Who's going to help her with the pregnancy? Hagar acted. She acted in haste. It was a rash act, and she lacked a well-thought-out plan. And again, that's useful information for us. We live in a society, we live in a time when a lot of people still act before thinking. Sometimes we may think before we act and still get things wrong. So there is no guarantee that even if we try to think things through, we're going to get it right. But many also act before they think. And Hagar, as we look at this chapter, reminds us that that's something that we want to try to avoid in our lives. If the angel of Jehovah had not shown up and given her the instructions that he did, what would have happened to Hagar? Well, she might have tried to return to the home of Sarah and Abraham to see how that went. She could have been attacked and become a victim. It's also possible that she would have perished in the wilderness. Another lesson contained in this chapter that might be practical for us is that the boss may not always be right, but the boss is the boss. Since Hagar was a handmaid, she was the servant in the household, since Hagar was the handmaid, she was the servant, and Sarah was the boss. Now, Sarah was not right. Sarah was downright ugly as far as the actions that we described tonight, but she was still the boss. And as we look at our life, we may have a situation where our boss is not right on one or more occasions, but that boss is still the boss. And our world needs to hear that particular principle. We've seen that in recent days. Within the last week, healthcare legislation has been passed, and that has made a lot of people angry. If you watched some of the news reports, you know that some threats have been made, both to Republicans and Democrats. There have been at least one case where shots have been fired. There have been some bricks that have been thrown through windows. if people don't like lawmakers and the decisions that are made, and the principle is also applicable in the workplace, but especially in the political realm, if you don't like the lawmaker or the decisions that he or she's making, do what the law allows you to do. Cast a vote and try to get those people out if you disagree with them. Run for office. Protests can be registered. But, we may not like what our legislators do. We may not like what our bosses do. But Genesis 16 says if they're the boss, or in the case of a politician, if they are the legislator, their position, their role needs to be respected. That authority needs to be respected. Finally, as we look at Hagar, we see that she tried to run away from a problem. And today, this is also something that many people try to do in life. A situation comes up, and sometimes people say, well, we're just not going to face the issue. We're just going to run away. We're going to try to avoid it and just dismiss it in that way. Hagar found out that that was not the best way to deal with the situation. The angel of Jehovah told her, you need to go back into that household, and you're just going to have to stay there for a while. And that's what happened. Today, this is still true in our day and time. Usually, it's the case that problems, if they're not faced and addressed, they're going to become worse. If they are faced and addressed, that's not always a pleasant thing to do, but that is usually the best course. There are some important lessons in this chapter, and we see that three people, Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, they were far from perfect, just like us. But God knew their shortcomings, God was patient with them, and those points are still true today. God is still aware of our shortcomings. He's patient with us, hoping that we will repent. If we're one of his people, then we do that as we stray from his law from time to time. If we're not one of his people, he's been patient with us, hoping that we will make the decision in our life to become one of his people. His patience has been extended up to us to this point in time. Are we one of his people? Not a perfect person, but are we trying to, as John says in 1 John chapter 1, walk in the light? We hope so. We hope that you've made the decision to believe in Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess that Christ is the Son of God, and finally to be joined to him in his spiritual body, the church. You've been baptized into the Lord, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And now you're trying to live the best Christian life you can. Well, if that's not the choice that you've made tonight, we'd like to encourage you to take that road. If you have and you've fallen, tonight we'd like to help you get back on that path. Or if there's another way that we can assist you, would you let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song?
Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweet in the tone are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door and wide, though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Will you please be seated. If there's anyone that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper, did not have that opportunity this morning, they can come forward at this time. Doesn't appear that there is anybody. I have a few announcements, and there may be some others if you have any. After services, we're going to have put together the heart-to-heart, a double mailing. We're also going to replace the pew Bible, the black ones, pull those, and also there's a cabinet in the back that needs to be carried down to the basement to put in the kitchen. So any help with any of that stuff would be appreciated. Any other announcements? We know we have those traveling, and I believe Dave told me that Terry and Pam were getting closer to home when he talked to them, but they hadn't quite gotten here. They were about as far as Fort Wayne. And I'm not sure about Floyd and Molly. They may be traveling yet tomorrow or the next day. We want to remember those people in our prayers. If no other announcements, let us sing one verse of number 46, and we'll have our dismissal prayer. If you care to stand. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is light to that above.
Should we pray? Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful day you've given us. Heavenly Father, as we go our separate ways this evening, be with each and every one that's here. Take them to their destination, bring them back safely to us. Be the ones, Heavenly Father, traveling today and tonight, bring them back safely. Be with the ones that are sick, bring them back to speedy recovery, be thy will. Be with the Floyd and his families as they travel back to us, and be with them in their grief. Heavenly Father, we ask you to go with us now. Forgive us the sin we know we do commit. In Christ's blessed name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Now I guess we take those boxes and put the other ones in them.
What are those boxes?
They're bowl boxes.
Are they?
Yeah, we got them.
That's the one that I brought.
The other one.
Now it's the worst.
He's all yeah, we can talk to the Jefferson boys. And they look probably all tired. They had a bit.
I love you, my boy.